Thank you, Pastor Brian, worship team. My name's Kevin, and I'm your pastor. The last few weeks, I haven't been here, but I thank you, Pastor Brian and Pastor Travis Turner, for filling in for me. Today, we continue our study in the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 6 and verse 25 on down to 34. And listen, today's topic hits us hard because it's talking about worry and anxiety. Worry and anxiety. If we had to title this thing today, it would be Worry and Anxiety Steals Life from You. It literally does steal our life. Man, we are some anxious people. We worry about everything. Listen, this message preached to me all week long. So believe me, you're going to get it. Worry, anxiety. Listen, we'll lose sleep at night. We'll quit eating. We'll get hives. We'll get ulcers, all because we're worrying about stuff that probably won't even happen. You know, 95% of the things we worry about, statistics say 95% never happen. Why can't we trust God with the other 5%? And really, that's the 5% we're going to worry about today. We're going to focus on is understanding how God sees worry, how he sees anxiety in our lives. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Man, if we would only trust God to care for our business his way and quit trying to fight him for control over it. He knows our lives. He created us. He has a plan. He has a providential plan for all of us. He knows what he's doing. But man, we want control. And when we don't have control, we get anxious. We worry. We stress. Yes, all of that. Matter of fact, Francis Chan said it this way. Worry implies that we don't quite trust God, that God is big enough, powerful enough, or loving enough to take care of what's happening in our lives. So this morning, Jesus really invites us. He invites us to join him in letting go of our worry and anxiety and trust God that God is sovereign over our issues. We begin reading in Matthew chapter 6. Remember, Jesus is in the Sermon on the Mount. He's on the hillside with his disciples, and there's a crowd gathering around to listen to what Christ is teaching his disciples. So he's talking to Christians now, his disciples. So we begin reading in verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? That's powerful. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothe himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, or the unbelievers, eagerly seek after these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray together. Father God, this morning as we look in Your Word, God, we're so guilty. We lay ourselves before You, desperate for Your Holy Spirit to intervene in our life this morning. We stress over so much. We worry about so much. We get anxious over so many things, Father. Forgive us for our sin. Sin of worry, because we doubt Your sovereignty. Oh, Father, help our unbelief this morning. Teach us from Your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. So here Jesus begins with a summary there in verse 25, a summary statement introducing everything that will follow. So all the verses that follow 25, verse 26 through 34, actually just add support to verse 25. Verse 25 says, "For this reason." That's another way of saying therefore. And any time you see the word therefore in Scripture, it means what I've just told you, since I've told you these things, therefore do this. So, we have a therefore there. He said, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor what your body as to what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So, if we want to understand the therefore or the for this reason, we need to step back over what was Jesus talking about in verse 24. What did He say? He was talking about wealth. How we are not to be so focused on gaining wealth and possessions in this life. Matter of fact, verse 24 ended, you cannot serve God and wealth. Either you're pursuing God or you're pursuing the world. You're pursuing things to make yourself wealthy. All this temporary stuff. God is wanting our focus to be on the eternal things. He says, therefore, for this reason, do not be preoccupied with wealth and possessions. Do not worry about your life. Don't be so focused on gaining more money, on gaining more possessions. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you will drink. Don't worry about what you will wear. So Jesus is inviting His disciples, you and me here, to join Him in focusing on eternal things. He is pointing out our underdeveloped faith. He was telling His disciples here, gathered on this hillside, He was preaching to them about their underdeveloped faith. You know what He's doing today? He's preaching to us about our underdeveloped faith. He's not saying we don't have faith. He's just saying that we stopped somewhere. We grew a little bit and we quit. It's underdeveloped. So this message is really an invitation for us to grow in faith this morning. Because our anemic faith, listen, it's robbing us. It's robbing us of our joy, of our peace, of our fulfillment in Christ. Listen, we are so focused on worrying about life situations or the life situations of others that we miss God's best for us in life. Man, you got up this morning and worry was right there waiting on you. Some of you didn't sleep last night because you were worried. You're just stressing. Why? Because when I'm stressing at night, I don't sleep very good. And if you pull up Facebook, you can tell who else ain't sleeping at night too. Yeah, think I don't see that, huh? Jesus says, do not worry, three times in this text. Repetition has value for us. Here's the main argument Jesus presents in verse 25. He gives us this command. Do not worry about your life or the lives of others. Do not worry about your life. That's a command He's giving to us. He begins to back it up. The reason is Because your life is more than food, and your body is more than clothing. So God does not want you and me preoccupied with temporary passing things in this world. Jesus is turning our focus to eternal things. So if God has given us the gift of life, will He not also take care of us in life? So if He's given this gift of life to us, won't He take care of us too? Yeah, we can always think about how things could be better. But listen, that's the direction God has chose. And God brings things into people's lives to grow them. That's His plan in their life. It may not be our plan for their life, but it's His plan in their life. Their challenges, their temptations, their struggles, to grow them where He wants them to be. So Philippians 1:6 says, "For I am confident this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will perfect it into the day of Christ Jesus." So Christ, who brings you into this world, Christian, brings you to Christ. You receive Christ as your Savior. You're on His journey with Christ Jesus. God is your heavenly Father. Listen, He will provide for you, even those things that seem impossible. So God has given us life. An eternal life. And He takes care of us all along the journey. God is our good Father. He will take care of the big things and the small things in our life. He can surely take care of all those lesser things that we really don't think He will. It's amazing. If we'll trust God in Christ for our salvation and our forgiveness of our sins, and when we die, He'll take us to heaven. But man, we won't trust God with a sandwich next week. Man, we need to stop worrying so much. We need to stop. Verse 26 says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life?" Listen, Jesus is teaching on this hillside north of the Sea of Galilee, in view of the sea. And on this, listen, it's beautiful, on these hills and right on the side of the mountain. It must have been this beautiful sight. And Jesus taught the unfamiliar things to the people through the familiar. If you remember all of those the times he tells the stories about things, the parables. He's telling the people something familiar that they know of, but applying a spiritual message to it. He does this with his disciples here. So he's taking the unfamiliar and begin to frame it with the familiar through lessons around them. So there were birds flying nearby and beautiful flowers blooming on the hillsides, and Jesus has a lesson through them. The first object lesson Jesus uses is birds. So verse 26 says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" Listen, birds, we eat a variety of foods, seeds and fruit and nectar and insects and fish and eggs and worm and basically anything you throw out there to them, birds will eat. God's created these birds with these skills, these natural skills to hunt down and track even from a distance. An eagle can spot a fish in the water way up there and make a dive. Created these birds that can track down from distances and find their prey. And then he gives the anatomical ability to eat and digest the meal. You don't find a gizzard in a human, but you do in a bird. Because it can crack down all these seeds that they eat. God provides food for the birds each day as needed. You don't see a bird driving down a John Deere tractor so they can store things up in their silos. It just doesn't happen. If you see a red bird or cardinal here in the wintertime, and man, throw some food out to it. It's there chirping for a reason. It's looking for food. God provides for them daily the food they need to eat. They not store up for the wintertime. They're provided food daily. Listen, Jesus is telling his followers to look and learn at these from these creatures. They're operating, listen, in the framework that God has created them, exactly the way he created them and designed them to. They're operating in that. And God has created a framework for us to operate in also, that we should abide. We should abide in his sovereignty. And listen, he teaches us about human responsibility and God's sovereignty working side by side. Just as a bird sing and soar in their framework of life, all for the Father's pleasure. Listen, when we operate in the framework that God has created us by trusting his sovereign goodness to provide for us, even those smallest things in our life, when we begin to see those as blessings and depend upon God for those things and quit trying to control everything and worry and anxious about every little thing in our life, we finally just sit back and say, God, I can't do this anymore. I trust you. Then we begin to operate in the framework that God has created us. That doesn't mean that we need to sit home every day and expect our food to be delivered to us. No, human responsibility says you get up and go to work as long as you can. There's working together, all for our goodness and God's pleasure. God is sovereign over all of our situations. Man, if God can take care of the birds with such detail, then how much greater is his care for us, his children? When we release the word of God's care, listen, we literally feel the weight lifted off of us. I've carried some heavy weights a long time, haven't you? You know you have. So don't you come to church lying. You know that you have carried some of you have carried weights this morning here. And it's stolen your joy. It's stealing everything. You're in worship here in God's word. And you're just closed off under the weight of stress and worry right now. God said, let that go. And when we release it, we literally feel that weight lifted off our lives and our anxiety and our stress begin to fade away. You know why we don't experience that much? Because we spend so many days trying to control everybody and everything in our life. Because if we can just get everybody and everything to do what we want them to do, then we'll be happy. No, that's not the way it works. You see, when we let God control the things in our life, control our life, be in control of the situations, even though it doesn't go at this time the way that we think it should go, you'll be amazed what God does with it down the road in his timing. So if you're a person who's just bent toward worry, look what Jesus said to you. Look what Jesus said your worry will accomplish. I don't know, Brother Kevin, my mama was a worry, my grandma was a worry, and I'm a worrier too. We'll break the cycle. Look what verse 27 says. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life? You know what your worry does? This is what Jesus is saying. Your worry does absolutely nothing. It adds zero to your life. We're going to read it takes some things away. But it adds zero to your life. Zero. Worry accomplishes nothing in our lives. But it does have negative effects. Whoo, it can steal so much from us. Man, with worry, listen, our mind and our body go into overdrive. And we constantly focus on what might happen. What might happen. What might happen. Our mind is so absorbed in what possibly could happen. And we'll go through 100 scenarios an hour on what could happen. And our body's in fight or flight the whole time. Our adrenaline is pumping. So excessive worrying, listen, it may kick in panic attacks with high anxiety. Worry affects our daily life. Listen, it may interfere with our appetite, our lifestyle habits, our relationship, our sleep, our intimacy, our job performance. Listen, and stress and worry and anxiety can even push people to try to find relief through alcohol abuse, drug use, smoking, oh yes, and overeating. Are you an emotional eater? See, worry can affect your heart by high blood pressure, a heart attack, or even a stroke. Doesn't sound like it's doing a whole lot of good for us. Worry triggers stress hormones that are released into the body that speed up our heart rate and our breathing, raise our blood sugar, and send more blood to our arms and our legs. And over time, this affects our heart, our blood vessels, our muscles, as well as other systems. Whew. Stress, anxiety, and worry. Listen, I want to be clear. There are legitimate medical conditions that produce anxiety in people. There really are. It's not sinful to seek medical help for a genuine anxiety disorder. You need to take care of yourself. But do know this. There's usually likely a spiritual component to that anxiety disorder also. For the rest of us, listen, we worry about so much and we gain nothing. But it sure is killing us. It's not adding anything. It's taking away from our lives. Quality of life and quantity of life. And our worry and anxiety and stress, listen, it often adds worry and anxiety and stress to others. And they gain nothing and we gain nothing. We all learn that life is a gift from God. He will provide for us and He is sovereign over all our situations. Man, we want stress just to go away and realize God is in control of it. The second illustration Jesus uses here is lilies of the field. Verse 28 through 30 says, And why do you worry about your clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil or spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you little faith? So He's talking to His disciples here on this beautiful hillside, and He's showing them the flowers here on the hillside, on that mountain north of the Sea of Galilee. He showed them the birds, and He's now showing them the flowers. So when Jesus refers to lilies of the field, He's talking about all the flowers of the field, not a specific plant at all. Just the flowers that were indigenous to those hills in Galilee. And from their vantage point, Jesus and His disciples could see the hillsides, and man, they were blooming and beautiful. Each flower, if you could find it under a microscope, each flower has delicate, intricate components. It's beautiful and it's detailed and it's all designed by God for our enjoyment. And a few bees and butterflies and birds. See, the colors are vibrant, and listen, you can see them waving in the sea breeze from the Sea of Galilee. The color, the beauty, the fragrance. Listen, if we were there on that hillside with Jesus, I don't know if we would be so focused. Jesus says, look at the flowers, look at the lilies of the field. There's just natural attraction because, man, it just feeds our soul. We see that even today. God did something beautiful in nature to teach us something. We marvel at the ingenious handiwork of God. Listen, Jesus points these flowers out to show us something over and over again. That, listen, if God took so much care with these flowers who are here for a temporary time, just a season, a few months, they may flower for 10 to 14 days. If God took so much time with each one of those flowers, how much more will He do in your life? And if He took that much time for the temporary, oh, think about what your mind will let you understand about the eternal of what He has done for you and for me for all eternity, our inheritance. Man, you see, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 tells us, but it is written, eye has not seen or ear heard what has entered into the heart of, or entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for him who love him, those who love him. Think about it. Man, if you're like me, I wish the flowers and the trees blooming would last longer. But they're here for a little while. And Jesus is using them to teach us about, man, these flowers didn't toil. They didn't spin. In other words, they didn't go out there and make their material. They didn't pick cotton, come in, go to the cotton gin and gin the cotton and get on the spinning wheel and make material, make thread and then make material. They didn't do all that. And look what God did for them. They didn't toil or spin. And there's, listen, Solomon in all of his glory was not as beautiful as these. But if God clothed, verse 30 says, clothe the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, because they use this grass to fire their furnaces to cook with and to bake brick and everything with. Will He not much more clothe you? And Jesus is taking great care to point out these details of plants that are here just for that short time to know how much more God would take care of things in your life. And you are infinitely more beautiful and complex and dear to your Heavenly Father's heart than flowers. And He would take care of you in your situation. Verse 31 through 33 says, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Will we eat? Well, what will we drink? Or what will we wear? What clothing? For the Gentiles, the unbelievers, eagerly seek after these things. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Matter of fact, He knows before you even ask that you need them. God is not waiting on you to ask so He can just write down, okay, I'll make a note of that. He already knows. He's just wanting you to connect with His will for what's going on in your life. He said, but seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Have these things been added to you? That's not the real question. The real question is, are you seeking the kingdom of God first and His righteousness first? Maybe we're worrying and stressing because we're not seeing God work in these areas, but we're not putting God first in our life. That God's somewhere else. He's saying, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. What? All these things that you're worrying about, I'm going to take care of for you, and you're going to see me do it. And you're going to be amazed. Because when we're seeking God first and His kingdom first, we're not trying to worry and control everything and everybody around us. We're not in all of that stuff. We have to live here. But as we're here and on this journey, by putting God first, in other words, we're trusting God in this situation. We're looking for God in that situation. Now, a lot of times, what we're saying, oh, Lord, just move him out of here. Oh, Lord, would you just do this? Would you just do that? And we're trying to tell God what to do in our situation. We're trying to control God. By telling God what he needs to do in our situation. No wonder we worry and stress, because God's not listening to us like that. That's not putting God first. That's still putting us and our desires first. We're just wanting God to act what we want him to do. See, priorities. Pursue Christ first, and he takes care of our business. You take care of God's business, God takes care of your business. Verse 34 says, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How many people go to bed so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow? Tomorrow may never even come for you. But man, we lose sleep for tomorrow or next week. Well, I just don't know about that meeting at work next week. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm going to have a job or not. Listen, God's going to take care of your business. He will. You trust him for your salvation, but you won't trust him for a job? That's nonsense. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. Man, God will take care of us. You know what the problem is many people think we're all children of God, and we're really not. We're all creatures of God or creations of God. The children of God are the ones who are in Christ Jesus, who've received Jesus as Savior in repentance of their sin. Listen, there are believers and unbelievers. And there were some believers Jesus was talking to, and there were some unbelievers on the outside mixed with some believers. Those who are in Christ Jesus belong to God's family. Scripture points out that the Gentiles, the unbelievers, chase after those things in the world. They worry about this and worry about that and worry about this. And they pursue their own desires and own appetites. What Jesus is calling us to do is, listen, he's inviting us to understand who our Heavenly Father is. Our Heavenly Father loves us and will take care of us and our situations. We don't need to worry. Yeah, I'm preaching to myself on this. See, Jesus uses Solomon as an example. In verse 29 of the text, he uses Solomon. He says, over in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, Solomon prays for wisdom. So Solomon takes the throne of his father to be king of Israel, and he's at a very young age. And he doesn't go to God asking for money. He doesn't go to God asking for nice clothes. You know, he's not asking for a Lamborghini. He's not asking for anything like that. He only asked for wisdom so that he could judge God's people right. That's all he does. And in addition to Solomon seeking God first, seeking his Heavenly Father first, God added a little wealth to him. Matter of fact, he was wealthier than any king before him or any king after him. I'm not saying when you trust God, he's going to make you rich. He gives you something better. The more you trust God, the more you pursue God, the more you seek God, the more of him is realized in your life, and you're richer
than any money, gold, silver, anything in this world. You're richer because you could find peace and joy and happiness sitting on a creek bank with no money in your pocket. Just an old cane pole pulling out a little perch. And you're perfectly content as compared to running the rat race of the world, trying to accumulate more money and more money and more money and stressing and worrying. Oh, you see, God shows favor beyond means when His people pursue Christ first. So Jesus is telling us that it is a sin to worry and be anxious over things in this life. These things cripple us. They steal our health. Worry steals our happiness. It steals our joy. It steals our peace. And catch this. It's all because of unbelief. That we don't believe God's big enough or powerful enough or concerned enough about us to take care of that little issue. We trust Him with our soul, but we won't trust Him with the smaller things going on in our life that we're stressing over, dying inside over. And it's all because of unbelief. It's because of our anemic faith. Listen, we want control so bad that we'd rather try to hold control than let God have control. Yet God works, listen, God works in His time and His way. Our worry and our anxiety, listen, is really an attack on God's word. It's an attack on God's sovereignty. It's an attack on God's goodness and God's kindness to us as our Heavenly Father. How would you like it if your son, your daughter walked into your house and you've been paying for their school, and you got them that cell phone, you got them that car, and you're doing this, and you're providing a room for them to sleep in, you bought their books, you did all these things, you give them a little spending money, a little gas money, all that thing, and they walked into the house and said, "That's not enough. That's not good enough. Daddy, I need this. I'm not happy with what you've given me. I don't believe you can meet all my needs, Daddy." And that's what we tell God. God's given us life. He's given us our health. He's given us our job. He's given a roof over our head. He's given us so many blessings. But we still don't trust Him enough. Unbelief. We know God is sovereign over the things in our life, but we try to take it from Him and do it our way. Man, that's crazy. Why won't we just trust God with our life? The big and the small things. We trust God with the big things, but we just somehow want to hold on to those smaller. Listen, He's saying to many of us today, God, you've come to saving faith, but man, you haven't grown since then. You came to a saving faith. And you stopped. You haven't trusted me with anything after that. Is that you this morning? Is that you that you trusted God with your salvation in Christ, and you trusted Him with forgiveness, and you trusted Him for that you're free and free indeed from the penalty of your sin, that heaven is your home, but you stopped right there. And you haven't grown since. You know something? That's why the Holy Spirit's led you here. Because you're hearing God's word teach us. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's like sandpaper. Sometimes it digs deep and grabs hard. But God has led you here because you're hearing God's word. This is not a little Debbie sermon. This is the broccoli. That nasty old cauliflower. So in order for you to grow in God's Word and let worry and stress fade, you have to learn to trust God more. I want you to think about this, Christian. So you work in an environment where there's a lot of people who do not know Christ. They're lost. They're unbelievers. They may say they're Christian, but that's really just a religious title that they have. You know they're lost. There's no element, there's no evidence of Christ in their life. You work there with them. They know that you were born again. They know you go to First Church in Ville Platte. And they know that you speak of Jesus from time to time. But something happened in your life. Some situations come up. And man, you start wearing it. You didn't sleep Sunday night, didn't sleep Monday night, didn't sleep. Every day you're starting to go to work and stress. You're starting to wear the stress. You're starting to wear the anxiety. And this goes on for a couple of weeks. Man, you're just worried and stressed, and you got to go to the doctor, and you got to talk to the doctor, and got to get on some medication because these situations are happening right now. The question comes up is this. You told all these people that you're born again, that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord. But what message are you sending them that you won't give God control over those situations in your life? What message are you sending to the unbeliever about this Jesus that has saved you? What message are you sending to them about how you are giving over to God as compared to carrying it? Listen, this is not to criticize anybody, because listen, I am that guy many times. Y'all don't know what I've been through in the last 3 years, and a few other people here. And I've had to question myself, what message am I sending to the community or to a lost world about how I handle things, knowing that God is sovereign and God is in control, and God does send you a whole lot more than you can handle so that you can give it right back to Him? And when I don't do that, I pay for it. But not only me, but what message am I sending to these lost people who are looking for something real in this world? And they're looking for Christ. They're looking to see Christ in your life and in my life. But if we won't trust God to take care of the little situations in our life in His time, not ours, and we want to try to control and stress over and lose sleep and get hives and whatever else and ulcers and everything else, we're driving ourselves nuts because it's not going our way. Man, what message are we sending to a lost world who's looking to see if this Jesus is real in your life and in my life? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me let go and walk this walk that you have given to me. Let's pray together. Father God, anxiety and worry and stress hit so hard. Because we want an ideal life. We want things to go our way and all have peace and joy and happiness, God. That's what we desire. God, the problem is we don't trust you with those things. As we try to do it ourselves. We try to be the Lord of our life. Oh, this morning, God, that you just forgive us for our sin. Of worry, our sin of anxiety and sin of stressing out over things that you're going to take care of. God, we proclaim today that you are big enough and strong enough and powerful enough and smart enough, wise enough to take care of what's going to happen to us 2 weeks from now or next week. You are, God. Lord, help our unbelief where we struggle with things in this life rather than give them over to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.